Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Brought to you by The Pint, Oodle Noodle, and OilersNation.com.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
Good afternoon and happy Saturday. For the next 2 hours, it is Nation Radio. Your email's welcome at nationradio@theteam1260.com. Hi there. This is Alan Mitchell with my producer, Connor. Do you have everything arranged for Mother's Day? You're good to go. You've got something for Mom?
Of course.
I'm just here as a friendly reminder, as an older guy, to all the younger males who forget. This is an important one. If your mom doesn't live in this city, you might want to give her a call. It's very important. She's the one who changed your diaper. She made your favorite sandwich 4,000 times. Guy Flaming and I were talking a few minutes ago, and he's got a little bit of work to do there, buddy, but it's okay. It's okay. It is Mother's Day weekend. Lots of activity. And man, is there lots to talk about today on the radio. Our focus is on Oilers past, present, and future, plus the NHL's biggest stories every week. And this week, we're delighted to welcome Norm Lacombe, former Oiler, former first-round draft pick as well. We'll talk about that and his very successful business in town. James Myrtle from the Globe and Mail. We'll talk about the NHL playoff, Canada, the World Hockey Championships, the draft, and the situation in Phoenix, which is changing by the minute, and Atlanta as well. Derek Zona from Copper and Blue. Talk about the draft, the Oilers summer, and some recent signings by the Oilers organization. He's doing some great research over at Copper and Blue, and we'll ask him some questions about that. Cam Moon in the second hour, play-by-play voice of the Red Deer Rebels. Talk about Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. I have some very specific questions asking some of the folks, not necessarily in the scouting community, but those in the know, and there's a lot of knowledgeable people in the Edmonton area about Nugent-Hopkins and his skating ability and quickness, and we'll talk to Cam Moon, who has certainly seen him more than anybody over the last couple of years. And Jim Byers from the Oklahoma City Barons will discuss the stretch run, the playoffs, and some late season signings who played for the Barons and get his input about how the summer is going to go and what he's going to be doing aside from going to the track. What a busy week. The NHL playoffs, the first round was among the best I can recall in history, and the second round kind of blah because it seems as though one team showed up for every series. Tampa Bay sweeping Washington. There were rumors that Boudreaux was going to be out as coach. Now the GM McPhee says maybe not. And some interesting online stuff from the owner of the Washington Capitals on his blog. Looks like he feels like the players were the culprit, and there's going to be some changes. We're not sure exactly what's going to go on. Detroit extends the series last night. Of all the teams in this round that I thought wouldn't, you know, close it out the first time, San Jose was one of them. And Detroit came through and played very well last night in overtime, scoring the winning goal. But you just knew they were going to, not quite in overtime, you knew they were going to score and win that game based on how well they were playing. Vancouver can end their series today with Nashville. A little disappointing with the Preds. Thought they'd be a little bit better. They're banged up, and Vancouver playing just well enough. Kessler is outstanding, getting good goaltending. The defense has been stout, and the Sedins will come around sooner or later, I'm sure. Boston Philly is over. I heard the pipeline guys talking about the goaltending. When will they learn? It's incredible. I remember Bernie Parent had an injury years and years ago in the middle of the season. He went to the Flyers and he said, I have to have this operation. It's going to take this long. And it seems like since that day, they've had problems. Parent ended his career with an eye injury. Pete Peters came in and played lights out, but then they had this kid who was fabulous in goal for them, and so they dealt Peters, and then Pelle Lindbergh tragically passed away. And since then, it's been an absolute crapshoot. In the late 90s, they had a choice between Joseph and Van Beesrick. They could have signed either one, and they ended up going the Van Beesrick route, and he was almost done. Joseph ends up playing brilliantly for Toronto for several years. Crazy stuff in Philadelphia. Canada over the USA and Norway in the last 24 hours. Jordan Eberle, is he doing something or what? Craig McTavish rumored to be a candidate for the Minnesota Wild coaching job. And Hitchcock possibly to New Jersey. And if we get time today, we're going to talk about Sidney Crosby, who apparently had a setback as he was going through the training and concussions. And one of the people that we want to talk to in the next few weeks is Jeff Grischel about concussions and how they're diagnosed. And apparently, the best hockey player on the planet, the comeback was so well written out that he had at least one, possibly two setbacks during that time. So I think those concussions are an issue that we're going to be talking about for years and years to come. It's 5 minutes after the hour, and we're joined. Are you out in Banff, Norm Lacombe? Is that where you are right now?
I'm in Canmore.
Canmore.
Yes.
High rent district.
For hockey, what else?
There you go. Hey, we got a few things I want to talk to you about today. You were a top 10 pick in the NHL draft in 1983. Is that correct?
I can't remember that far back.
I think it was 83.
Yes, I was, yes.
Yeah, you were a highly rated guy, and tell me about your draft expectation and experience. I know it's different now than it was then, but how did you find out? Was there a draft day? Did you fly in anywhere? What was the situation like for you in 83?
No, I mean, certainly. I remember almost like yesterday. I mean, it was happened to be in my hometown from Montreal, so at the Forum, which, you know, as a kid growing up, cheer for the Canadians. So I was very neat. Experience. My whole family was there, and I was great. I was at the Forum and was there to witness it with a bunch of my buddies. It was a lot of fun.
And you were drafted by Buffalo, and Scotty Bowman would have been the GM and coach at that time. What was your experience with Bowman? I understand he was a bit of a hard taskmaster as a coach.
Yes. Scotty, what do we call him? We call him all left brain, so all technical, tactical, yeah, the motivational or experience with the players was a little different, certainly, but certainly, I mean, Scotty was a genius in the hockey world and, Hall of Fame, as obviously, but, as a young kid, playing pro and under Scotty, I mean, it takes, you got to be a dread stuff as a young guy. I mean, you got to, that's what I tell all these young guys going up. I mean, it's not so much the physical part, it's more the mental part to adjust, and take time, and it's different for everybody, so.
When you were in New Hampshire, NCAA, you were an offensive player. When you turned pro, and you did that right away after the draft, you were thrust into a more of a two-way role. Was that by choice, or did that was the way you were going to come up through their system?
Well, it was just, I blame Scotty for that. He turned me into a checker. What does he know? there's so many good players. Again, you gotta fit into a certain role as you move up. I mean, I scored goals and stuff, but I was a big, strong kid. Back then, really nobody. We did these strength tests and all that, and bench press 400 pounds at 18 years old. And these guys are going, holy man, this guy's a monster. I was strong along the boards and all that. So I wasn't going to play on the top line or score 50 goals. So you fit in a certain role where, I just happened to fit in that role, and it was good for my career. So.
Did you have Roger Nielsen as a coach there as well? Was he there at that time?
No, Roger was not there. No, he was Scotty Bowman for a bit. Jim Schoenfeld for a bit. We had a few, and then before I got traded to the Oilers.
That's my next question. You got dealt to the Oilers. They gave up a lot to get you, a couple pretty good hockey players. Do you remember how you felt when you were traded, how you felt about coming to the Oilers, who were a terrific team at that time?
Oh, man, yes. I mean, I was in the heydays, and my feeling, I was excited. I mean, when you get traded, it's a bit of a shock. It's never happened before. That was my first time. And then my other thoughts were, geez, I'm never going to play there. Right? I mean, you want to play in the NHL, and with Buffalo wasn't working out, and then I get traded to the Oilers. I'm like, whoa, that's going to be tough to crack the lineup. And again, sometimes it works. You move to a really good team, and all you have to do is fit a role.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. Right? So I fit a role and was able to crack the lineup and have some fun there.
You did play a few shifts at least with Messier and Anderson. You have in the past told a funny story about you and Anderson. Can you repeat that one for me?
How do you know that one?
I have research.
Oh, God, that was funny. Yes, I think somebody got hurt or something, and we were at, for a couple, probably we didn't have a game for a few days, so they put me with Anderson and Messier, so I practiced for a few days. He goes, yeah, okay, you're going to play with him the next game. So obviously I'm all excited. And so he says, okay, Norm, just do your job, right? Just go up and down the boards and go crash, and I just let him do whatever they want. Yes, okay, sure, whatever. So first shift starts, and I just go up and down the boards, and they do their stuff. And, as the period moves on, two, three shifts, I get more comfortable. And I decide, okay, well, I'm just going to go across the ice, right? Neutral in the center. And I cut across, and Anderson cuts across, and I just level Glenn Anderson right in center ice. And I'm standing right on top of him. He's on the ice on his back, and I thought I killed him. I look, and he looks up, and he's smiling. He goes, get off me. So I get off. Get to the bench and say, to ask me in the show. He says, okay, that's good, kid. You can move back.
Back to the third line.
Yeah, that was my experience. There you go.
What did winning the Stanley Cup mean to you?
Well, it's a dream. I mean, you play hockey for... it's a dream. It's the winning the cup. I mean, the most highlights is, you know, your first goal, obviously playing the NHL... being drafted was, for me, was a in Montreal was a highlight, and winning the cup is the biggest highlight of my career of any hockey player, right? You dream of winning the cup, and it's obviously I never forget. I mean, people, wow, you want a cup, especially now as I'm getting older and I got kids and I'm here in the hockey tournament. And it's like, you want a cup? And I says, yeah, geez, well, it's like, you realize how hard it is, and how fortunate I was to be part of that, a small part of that team, and it's, certainly a dream come true.
And Fred Shiro once said that, you know, win the cup and you walk together forever. That's certainly true with that Oiler group, too. I mean, there's a lot of those players who, if not hang around the city like you, they definitely are associated with the Oilers, right?
Well, definitely. I mean, we just happened to have that, I don't know if you heard that Pro-Am, that Scotiabank Pro-Am, a few weeks ago for Alzheimer's and for Gordie Howe. And I saw... a few of old teammates, Mick Sorley, Kruzulinski, and Coffey came into town. It was, you look and you be part of that team and winning a cup, you're still, it was like yesterday. I haven't seen those guys in 15 years, and it's, you see them, it's just like the old times, and a lot of fun. So, yeah, pretty special moments.
Do you ever watch the DVD? Every once in a while, I'll bring out the DVDs of those old games, and man, that team could fly. Everybody could skate on that team.
Yes. I mean, how many Hall of Famers are there off that team?
There's a lot.
Quite a few. Another highlight, I mean, speaking of that, is playing against Wayne Gretzky and then playing with Wayne Gretzky. I mean, I grew up same age as Mario Lemieux, playing against Mario Minor Hockey, and I tell people it's the reason I made it, because I have to chase him around everywhere.
he taught you well.
Playing against Mario, obviously, with Gretz, and I mean, it was Curry and Anderson, and I mean, you just go on and on and on. It's a pretty special group, and I don't know if you'll ever see that again.
No. You were traded to Philadelphia, played well there, and then your career ended with something called chronic exertional compartment syndrome. Did I say that right?
That's right, yeah. It's leg compartments. Yeah, I always had some leg issues and problems throughout my whole career, and it's a circulation problem in the lower legs, and it just never got better, and every team I went to got operated and thought that would fix it, and it actually probably made it worse, build all that scar tissue. And it's also a combination of, back then I was one of the few guys that loved the training and the off-ice training and the weight training. Hey, you got to get stronger and faster. And I learned a lot of it on my own, and, trial and error. You do some of the right things, some of the wrong things, and with the chronic problems I had, it obviously made it worse. And I had to stop early. I mean, it's unfortunate. I was 26, I think. So I had to, that's unexpected. Wasn't ready to quit for sure.
Now, you turned the interest that you had in fitness and training into career hockey impact development centers. Tell me about that, how that came about, and how long you've been doing it, and what you're doing with it now.
Certainly. I mean, it was always a passion of mine, and I retired, what, 94, roughly, and a couple years, you know, you don't really know what you want to do. You just retire, but I always liked the training, and I started training a few buddies, and like Craig Muni, and still, you know, was playing a few years, and I was always known for the training and the strength and all that stuff, and so I started training a few buddies, like Marc Angel and I, and him coming summer, so I'd work him out in the summer, and as a fun thing and a hobby, and a few other people found out, and some dads found out, hey, my kid plays junior, can you help him? So yeah, and I just kind of just evolved from training pros to junior players to with agents sending their guys from all over to, you know, opening a small studio to now it's a full-on young kids, it's on ice, off ice, all year round. We're right in this brand new facility in Leduc, and we have ice all year round. It's evolved to on ice, off ice, all year round. So there you go.
And the list of names have gone through: Bomeister, Phaneuf, Cam Ward. You could have trained him a little less well in 2006. Thanks a lot, man. Andrew Ferentz, Lupul, Sikora, among others. It's a laundry list of outstanding players from this area and others. You must have a lot of pride in that.
Well, I was fortunate again to get in touch with those kids, and you know, it was just something I liked doing. I was good at it, and there's a mutual respect. And I guess a player wants to reach the NHL, and I've been there, and we had fun doing it. And I mean, certainly, I mean, I'm never having been in the NHL, it's how much part did I have in Jay Bullmeister's career or Dion Phaneuf? I mean, I'm sure they could have made it sitting on the couch. But certainly, yeah, I mean, I'm sure I helped in a small way, and it's fun, you know, you stay in touch with these guys, and now they're getting married, and you know, it's fun to be, certainly fun to be part of that.
Is there a best age for kids to come to you? Like, is there a point at which they should be, like, at bantam age, or does it matter, they can come at any time, and you can teach them something?
Well, that's it's a great question. I mean, it's our new setup now, it's you know, we start them, and there's 7 or 8 year old kids. Obviously, it's training, it's on ice stuff and skill work. Every age is different, the focus. And certainly at a young age, yeah, I work on skills and become a great athlete, play different sports. What's happening now is I tell people, when I first started doing the training, I just used to work with the kids that are almost there, right? The junior guys and the drafted players, and it's they would come see me, and it's like, okay, what are you doing? And they're like, well, they do nothing. I said, okay, well, here's what you got to do. So it's starting to work. Now I see kids, they come to me with their parents, and they come, and it's like, they want me to help them. I'm like, okay, what are you doing? And they're like, they're doing everything. Mm-hmm. You know, they're in a hockey program, they play rep hockey, they're in power skating, and they want to come train with me. Like, it's now it's overtraining. It's like you need to set a plan, and there's too much stuff out there. It's more setting the right plan and moving forward with what you got to do. So it's more educating the people now on all that stuff. So,
and the website is hockeyimpact.com. That's where they can find out about you, right?
That's our website. That's right.
You got it. Norm, you know what? I know you're playing at 1 o'clock today, and I so much appreciate you coming on the show today. Thank you so much.
No problem. All right. No problem. Thank you. Anytime.
All right. Norm Lacombe from Hit Hockey Impact Training Centers, and I enjoyed that very much. Good guy. Definitely a guy who, if you're of a certain age and an Edmonton Oilers fan, you remember the impact that he had physically coming as he did over from the Buffalo Sabres in a big trade. Lee Foglin and Mark Napier, I think. I might be wrong on that. Anyway, he talked to an interesting point he made at the end about overtraining. You know, I mean, I remember as a kid reading about Jerry Cheevers getting ready for training camp by getting into his great big Chrysler LeBaron with Glad garbage bags over him, turning the heat up and driving around his town in Ontario, and that's how he lost weight to get ready for training camp. You go from there to to where you are now, it's a different world. This is Nation Radio on Team 1260. We're coming back after this.